One, do you expect him to be starting up front for England in 2 years' time?
No.
Two, do you think in hindsight Tottenham got a really good deal last summer?
Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, patrons. Happy Wednesday. Today, James, we are looking at last season's predictions before people start making this season's ones, right? Just to remind you how stupid you were last year so that you can be even more stupid this year.
So, going to break this into two podcasts. The funnier one will be tomorrow. I sent a tweet out, as I do every year. This was sent out on the 8th of August last year. And it reads like this. It's that time of year, people. I'd like to know what is your improbable, wacky, out there prediction for the season. Basically, something you think could happen that hardly anyone else does. I'll give you one to start. Bournemouth to finish in the top half. Your turn. So my improbable prediction was incorrect, but actually they got much better as the season went on. And if they'd have started better in the first 10 games, who knows? They might have been a little bit closer. There were 272 responses to that tweet. I have grabbed 14 of them that were good.
Okay. Well, when you say good, correct, you mean, right? That played out.
Even some of these aren't necessarily correct, which should be the case, right? These are predictions for things that most people supposedly shouldn't think would happen. So we're going to discuss these 14 that were largely good and just kind of have a little discussion about them. Then tomorrow we're going to rip the shit out of the really bad ones and the probably 20% of people that told me Burnley would finish top half, etc., etc. We'll start with this one with our friend Tom Cantlesidge, who said Ollie Watkins 200 club.
Yeah, I mean, smashed it, didn't he? He was there by like March, April, wasn't he?
Yeah, and if you look historically, I think his previous best was 150, 160. So yeah. I think it was fair to put that down as an improbable, one of the highest scorers in the game. It was only Cole Palmer finished on more than him, wasn't it, in the end?
Yeah, I don't know about improbable. I mean, if you looked at the season before, Villa under Emery, you would have predicted them to have a stellar season. If Villa are going to have a stellar season as their main striker, he was likely to have a stellar season. I feel like it's a prediction as much about Villa and the direction of travel for them as just Ollie Watkins. So I'm not, I mean, Villa could have dropped off. There are still doubters on Unai Emery. But overall, yeah, good shot.
I think largely though with the forwards, it's only really been the Canes and the Haalands and the Suarez's and stuff, Van Persie, stuff like this that have kind of hit above the 200.
Mm.
Remember Pricey was at start of last season, right? Reasonable mid-price forward.
Yep.
Make a case he is again now, by the way. This one from our good friend Dan, FPL Gas. Sheffield United to get less than 20 points.
Ooh.
16 they finished on, I think.
I thought they'd finish on less than 11 at some one point in the season, so, you know.
Yeah, at one point, but did you at the start?
Nah.
No, and it's always, you always get it a few games in. It's like, are they going to beat Derby's points total? And it's like, yeah, everybody for the rest of time will beat Derby's points total. I don't think anyone will ever be that bad again. But yeah, that's a good shout to say less than 20 points. Yep. He did also have two other predictions, which while I'm here, I'll throw them in because they're quite interesting. He put Spurs to win a cup this year, just to show you don't get everything right.
Yeah. I mean, you only won one cup game, didn't you?
Did we even win one? Yeah, actually, no, you're right. We did win the third round of the FA Cup. Elliot Anderson, who was obviously on loan at Bristol Rovers, who we've become familiar with, has now moved to Nottingham Forest. He said, to be in the England or Scotland squad by the end of the season.
Nope.
Don't know who's going to play for. This is from FPL Church, one of our patrons. Says, Jurgen Klopp not to be Liverpool manager by the end of the season.
Oh, yes.
It was a shock when he announced it, though, wasn't it?
Oh, hugely. I think he'd made the decision prior to that and was waiting for the right time to announce it. It was a huge shock, yeah.
Yeah, I still think that's a big call to say this time last year you thought he wouldn't be there. I mean, he was there at the end of the season, but I think the idea that it would be his last season, I think people still found shocking. I think if you'd have gone back to the start of last season, particularly because they'd have just won the Champions League, I think you'd have probably found more people to said that about Pep than Klopp, ironically.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think I really like your shout about Klopp for England manager, though, after the England Euros pod that we did the other day. I really like your shout about Klopp for that.
I heard someone suggest last night that if Jurgen Klopp was insistent on taking a year off, which is what he said, and England decide they want him and Klopp is open to the idea, they should just give someone the job on an interim basis for a year.
I don't know about that. I don't know who would take it. I don't know who it inspires confidence for to do it that way around. I don't know about that, to be honest with you. But I prefer Klopp to Pochettino, for example, whose name has been touted about a bit. Yeah. But yeah, a good shout there to say Klopp was going to be gone by the end of the year.
A couple here from Sam O'Sullivan, who's, I presume, back from Berlin. In fact, I know he's back from Berlin. You know, obviously, Sam tweets his pictures of all the games he goes to. Obviously, he was in Berlin on Sunday night and he was watching Aldershot in some fucking park last night. Good luck to him. That's a change of scenery. Sam said, Gary O'Neill to save Wolves from relegation against the odds.
That's half true.
It's half
save
true.
Them from relegation. They were never
in danger.
They were just never. They were just never in danger. Never.
But I think we should acknowledge what a good job he did.
Excellent.
And I certainly was sitting here, not this time last year, but certainly in August last year, going, they're in massive trouble. I think they'll go.
Yeah, I mean, any club that loses their manager the day before the season starts is going to think that.
Was it a week before the season started? Lopetegui went, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then they put in that brilliant performance at Manchester United. They upset a number of teams, particularly at Molineux last year. I think he'll struggle to replicate that. And actually, if he does replicate the season again, I think that'll probably be a good season for Wolves. But now the feeling is different. I don't think they'll go down now. Not at all.
I don't think so either. But look, transfer window could be huge for them.
Well, when you're selling your captain to West Ham, I don't know how big your expectations should be.
What difference does it make if he goes to West Ham?
Well, it's not like captain went to Manchester City, is it?
Yeah, but what difference does that make where the captain goes? You still lost your captain.
Yeah, but if your captain goes to Manchester City, you don't have an objective to finish above Manchester City. Wolves fans might have an objective to finish above West Ham. That's my point.
Well, I don't have any issue with them having that objective. I think it's still a league above. If we're talking about... Wolves are not in a position to break into the pretenders, as you'd call them, the Newcastle, Brighton, West Ham. Aston Villa have kind of punched through, but not consistently. So I don't think Wolves are anywhere near that tier and have the potential to break into. Not with their finances, not with their structure. Just it's not because anything... I'm not trying to be down on Wolves, but they aren't at that level. And no. Also, they're not going to pay London salaries. They've not played European football for donkey's years. So I don't take that as they should expect to be. They shouldn't.
I think
West Ham
stands...
come calling, they're going to lose them. Who are they buying off us? Craig Dawson.
I think as it stands now, you could probably split the league into four groups and actually put the top eight together. Then I think you've got like a small cluster of teams who have an ambition to break through that, such as West Ham, Crystal Palace, maybe Brighton, although there's an air of unpredictability about that. Then you've got the teams that will not want to be in trouble. And then you've got the teams that will be in trouble. I think Wolves fall into the category of won't want to be in trouble more than likely to push the top eight.
Yeah.
That's where I'd see them at the moment. Talking of Brighton, Sam predicted Brighton will finish bottom half.
Did they in the end? No.
Yeah, 11th. Yeah, Palace overtook 11th. Them on the final day, didn't they?
Yeah. Oh, that's got a sting in it.
How do we feel? I've been asked this a few times. How do we feel about De Zerbi now that he's gone and wants to take Mason Greenwood to Marseille? And I don't know about his off-the-field stuff. Yeah, okay.
I mean, listen, maybe that's a question for you because you were the one that had his poster on your wall and photo as your screensaver on your phone. And, you know,
not true.
You were the red carpet. Did you hear about where was it? Was it in Mexico? No, it was in Egypt, James. That they got a prime minister. The country's in a really bad economic state, really bad, fucked up, right? Egypt's got a bad economy. People are suffering and what have you. And the prime minister was opening a building or a hotel or something. And he had a 200 meter red carpet rolled out for him to open this building. And it cost £170,000. That's
Fuck
how
off, man.
Yeah, people were like, what the fuck are you doing? When you're going on stage and saying people need to cut their spending back and don't spend any money, and you're doing that. But all my point is that after that, he was finished with that red carpet. You had it ready to roll out at Spurs for De Zerbi at one point. So you tell me,
well,
how do you feel?
That was a long-winded way to give me loads of time to be able to think about my answer. Thanks very much.
Jury's out.
I think he rubbed people, forget the Marseille stuff for a minute. I think he rubbed people the wrong way last year, including people at Brighton. Like, I don't think Brighton fans were very thankful for what they watched and stuff, but I don't think there wasn't like, this is the worst thing to ever happen, Roberto De Zerbi's leaving and stuff like that. There was, I think, a little bit of an acceptance that there was perhaps a little bit of friction beginning to build. Plus, from the Brighton fan perspective, it was probably a little bit of a trust that after Potter went, they felt like their world had come to an end. Suddenly, De Zerbi rots up. Maybe Zeller will prove to be better than De Zerbi, maybe even. So I think Brighton fans have been acceptant. It's interesting that he's gone to Marseille. I don't think that's what anybody, when he resigned from Brighton, I don't think anybody's vision was he was going to go and manage in Ligue 1. It's interesting. No.
And you think he'd go after a club with the potential to win or go deep in the Champions League?
Listen, it's a massive football club, Marseille. That's not in question. You know, they'll have 50,000 in the ground most weeks and stuff like that. But it's not what people visualised. And if he doesn't do well there, he'll get forgotten quickly.
Yeah.
Interesting. I think a lot of the top Premier League clubs, Liverpool, United, Chelsea, my club, had all been linked. There was enough there with him as an individual that I think had put people off. I think. Adi Tor, this one is absolutely spot on, perhaps for the wrong reasons. Harry Kane to finish top goal scorer.
He did.
Didn't say what league. So, excuse me, correct. The amount of predictions there were on this about Harry Kane, by the way. Absolutely loads. One of the more improbable ones was he'll sign a new contract. But at this point, it was still a Tottenham player.
Yeah.
This was obviously a week before the season started, and within days, it was confirmed that he was off. How do we feel about Harry after the summer?
When we got to the final, I wanted him to win it because I wanted him to have a trophy. I have no love for him particularly. Look, he's an ex-Spurs player. I'm not a diehard West Ham fan that hates everything to do with Spurs, but I don't particularly have any akin to him other than bits and bobs he's done for England. But I did want him to win it because he's been such a great player. If he was to come back to the Premier League now, I don't think we'd see the same Harry Kane as we saw in his peak for Spurs.
No chance.
Yeah.
Not that he wouldn't. I still think there's a possibility that in 12 months' time, he'll end up at City. Haaland goes somewhere else. Kane goes there. This is if they beat him under 15 charges, obviously. And Kane can be a penalty box player for them and he'll score a shitload of goals. No problem. But I think most other clubs, it won't work. Him coming back to Tottenham, I've spoken about this several times, would be a mistake, in my opinion.
I think if he was to come back to the Premier League, I don't want it to be, you know how Michael Owen ended up doing the rounds a bit at Sunderland and Manchester United and whatever else. I don't want Kane to come back and do that. I'd rather he went away and finished his career like Ronaldo, which is adapt to be a penalty box poacher and just still keep playing and scoring goals and doing what you're good at a lower level, be good at a lower level rather than be mediocre at a higher level is how I would like to see him finish his career. But he's not done yet. But I do think the injuries and what have you will start having more and more and more of an impact on him.
Two questions. One, do you expect him to be starting up front for England in 2 years' time?
No.
Two, do you think in hindsight Tottenham got a really good deal last summer?
They got a good deal. I wouldn't say it was like you fleeced Bayern Munich because he went and scored fucking 50 plus goals over the season. I think Bayern Munich not winning the league or not winning the Champions League was not down to Harry Kane. There was other problems that they potentially had. Did Bayern Munich buying Harry Kane get them closer? Probably. But then I suppose they did have Lewandowski previously who was doing similar numbers. And I think if Lewandowski had stayed there, he'd probably still be doing similar numbers. I think it was a good, it was as good a deal as West Ham's 105 for Declan Rice. He went there. It didn't, Arsenal didn't win anything. But did he get them closer? Yes. Was it Declan Rice's fault that they didn't win anything? Eventually, no. So, yeah, I'd say it was a fair deal.
Okay. Was this one a fair deal? Jake Jackman predicted, one of our patrons, says everybody will think Anthony Gordon was value for money when the end of the season comes around. That's a great shout.
I think it is. I don't think anyone's in argument about that. Do you think they are?
No, but I think all of us were, I think even Newcastle fans when he was bought were like, gee, it's a fucking lot, isn't it, for a guy who's largely been quite inconsistent for Everton, has shown flashes, would he even play regularly, etc. I think he had a standout under-21 tournament for England last summer. And I think that really helped build some confidence. It also gave people the opportunity to see variation in him, where he played as a wide player, also played in central roles. And I think he had a great season for Newcastle. Was arguably their most consistent performer across the season. And yes, if Newcastle sold him to Liverpool, as was rumoured ahead of the June 30th deadline, they'd have been getting a lot more than what they paid. So the answer is unquestionable, actually. Jimmy Kay predicted that Manchester United would finish outside the top five. Now, that feels normal now, but I can assure you this time last year it wasn't, because everybody thought they'd finish top four again. I can see that from the correspondent predictions.
Yep.
Red is the colour six also had Newcastle to finish outside the top six.
Close.
Correct. They finished seventh for us, wasn't
they? Yeah, but they came close to six, sorry, is what I mean. Aston Villa are going to see it this year. It's hard to balance. When you're first breaking into European football, it's hard to balance it out and know, you know, how to play midweek and at the weekend. And inevitably, the league form suffers. Newcastle, on the other hand, they did it with such a depleted squad and a lot of defensive difficulties. Who's to say, would they have coped better had they been full strength throughout that? But then had they not had Europe, would they have had as many injuries, you know? And then losing their key signing from the summer as well. So I don't know how Newcastle will react to it, but
The only thing to say about Newcastle is, listen, they had European football and then injuries came together, whereas the previous season, they'd certainly at least defensively been able to pick a very consistent side. But it was only six extra games. They also, the previous year, also got to the League Cup final and didn't do that this year. So they actually had a calmer run at the end of the season, basically. So the injuries certainly cost. I expect Newcastle to be much better this year. And there's a few guys, I think that James Kay was one, was asking about, because on my planner, some of the sheets are ordered like A to Z and some are ordered by team strength. And Villa are ordered as eighth. That's not necessarily my opinion. That's where the bookies would project Villa to finish at the moment, is eighth. And I don't think it's not a case of, oh, Villa are the eighth best team. It showed last year that they're better than that. It's what you just said, that the acclimatisation to play European football plus you know, have lost one of their really good players in Douglas Luiz, and yes, they've replaced very well, but there will be an air of uncertainty for them this year. It is different kettle once you play Indeed. European for the first time. And I think particularly as well, when you have that big jump, I experienced it in 2011 where it was like, ooh, straight into Champions League. Newcastle had it last year. Villa going to have it this year. I say straight in because Villa did have Conference League, but the jump from Conference League to Champions League is, that's different football. You can, you know this, Suj, you can fucking stroll through the Conference League.
I'm not taking anything away from winning it.
I'm just saying up until April, you can stroll through the Conference League. You can't do that in the Champions League.
Yeah, for sure.
One Villa player who performed really well and did for myself actually was Leon Bailey last year. Real Coholic said Leon Bailey will finish with more FPL points than Christopher Nkunku.
But that did happen.
You wouldn't have got many people predicting that last summer. Obviously, that's heavily influenced by Nkunku's injuries. I think him at 6.5, they're both 6.5 now, ironically. Who would you say this time gets more?
I mean, I'd go again to Nkunku.
If he stays fit.
I mean, Bailey doesn't have the best fitness record. Last year was better than previous seasons, but he's not exactly Mr. Fit and Healthy. I'd go Nkunku. Like, I'm strongly tempted to go Nkunku over Cole Palmer at the moment.
That 4 million saving, if Nkunku plays regularly, will be worth it.
Mm.
I'm fairly certain of that. I'll go as far to say there'll be a game week this season where Christopher Nkunku will be the most captain player. There you go. Have that one as a fucking prediction.
Yep.
MSD1986 had a few, one of which was Aston Villa to finish top four.
Nice.
Wolves to survive comfortably.
Nice.
And the third and final one, Newcastle to make the Champions League semi-finals.
Okay, that was...
Sorry. But two of Newcastle's fellow group stage opponents did make the semi-finals. Dan FPL Gas wasn't the only person who predicted Sheffield United on 20 points or lower. So too did FF Joel. Interesting one here from FPL Controller. You can debate whether this is correct or not. Said Chelsea will not sack a single manager this season.
It's at the end of the year, so no. I'm going to say that's correct.
Would they have sacked
mutual consent?
It was mutual consent. We discussed this. But if Pochettino was like, no, I'm staying, do you think they'd have sacked him? That's how it probably feels. Yeah, agreed. And final one from FPL Zizou. Declan Rice to have 10-plus attacking returns.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's a real interesting consideration because what I didn't expect to see was him on the flipping corners and all that. And obviously, you know what units Arsenal are. I think, did they score the most set-piece goals last year? I think they did.
It must have.
Well, corners, definitely. I don't know, like, all set-pieces. So if you've got a team that is going to score 8, 9, 10 goals from corners over a season and you've got their primary corner taker, I think, yeah, he could be particularly interesting, old Ricey.
Do you know actually how many attacking returns he got last year?
15?
Yeah, I think I was 15 or 17, I think.
He scored a fair few goals, and there's a fair few goals that got him out of the shits as well.
By the way, breaking news for you, it's timestamp this at 20 past 11 in the morning, because I just went to look at exactly how many FPL returns Declan Rice got last year. I can't because the game's updated. So there's a clue for your games coming today.
Shit. Let's have a look. Premier League 23-24. Assists 8, goals 7. 15. Bang on the money, I was.
Yeah, I think it might be more of that with FPL assists.
His expected assists was 4.8. So he outperformed that. And expected goals 3.34. He outperformed that. So it's a massive overall. Because a lot of his shots and stuff that he takes is edge off in and around the box, right? And I don't know what the XA of a corner is, but surely the XA of a corner is fixed. The XA doesn't change depending on how you take the corner, does it? Or does it?
Yeah, of course, because if it's cleared by a defender, there's no XA, mate.
Right, okay, yeah, fine.
So your XA will be dependent on
the
your
quality
teammate.
Of the chance.
Yeah, the quality of chance they have. Yes, correct. There is no XA on a corner that is cleared by a defender. Otherwise, you would just have a constant build. There is no XA.
Yeah. So that XA
it's the same. If you play a through ball to someone, let's say Rice is trying to put Havertz through, and it's about to get to Havertz, but as Havertz is about to have the shot, a defender comes across and gets the tackle in, there's no XA. Right? Because Havertz hasn't got his shot away. So it's the same as that. So you could say like that's a fruit that would get marked as like a through ball, perhaps, but it won't get marked as XA. So I think with Rice, a little bit what I discussed with Klaitsch yesterday, in between Rice and Odegaard, you're probably going to have Trossard or Martinelli or someone they might buy, it might be more interesting in between. And Rodri's now the same price as Bernardo Silva.
Has he?
Yeah, both 6.5, aren't they? Rodri and Bernardo Silva. So
right.
At that point, start looking at actually who's going to get more returns. It might be Bernardo. Plus, is Rodri going to start the season? Big debate. No. And the same might apply to Declan Rice as well.
Indeed.
Tomorrow's
all right, more
one,
fun
tomorrow's
tomorrow,
one
yeah?
Will be, some proper piss taking coming tomorrow.
Good, good, good. We're looking forward to it. Patrons, you know what to do. Stay tuned to the Patreon app and that'll be ready for you maybe early afternoon tomorrow. In the meantime, though, stay safe, look after yourselves. Ciao for now.
Thanks, everyone. Be nice to each other. Cue music, please, man child.